from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a midsummer kind of a show. The pace is leisurely. The topicality is muted because it's being recorded a couple of days before you're hearing it. Just to give it a chance to age a little bit, you know, because just to leave it out in the sun and let the flies attack it a little bit. Just to get it ready for you. But still, a fresh edition of the broadcast. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by imitations or reruns. This from the Pentagon this week, in case you missed it, or even if you didn't. The Pentagon will hold a massive march and country music concert to mark the fourth anniversary of 9/11. That was from Donald Rumsfeld, an announcement that was sort of thrown away at an Iraq briefing this week. Quote, this year the Department of Defense will initiate an America Supports Your Freedom Walk, Rumsfeld said, adding the march would remind people of the sacrifices of this generation and of each previous generation. Odd usage there. Each previous generation. Ever? Back to the Paramecium? The march will start at the Pentagon, where nearly 200 people died on 9/11, and end at the National Mall with a show by Clint Black. He's a country star, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure. I've never heard of such a thing, says John Pike, a defense analyst in Washington for 25 years, and who now runs globalsecurity.org. Well, he has now. He's heard of such a thing when the Washington Post called to get his comment. That's what he heard. How about telling Mr. Rumsfeld to leave the memories of September 11 victims to the families, asked Monica Gabrielle, who lost her husband in the attacks. Administration supporters, however, insist Rumsfeld is right to link Iraq and 9/11 and hold the rally. This would be the new explanation, ladies and gentlemen. From Representative Pete King, Republican of New York, quote, we are at war. It's essential that we support our troops. You do not defeat Al-Qaeda until you stabilize the Middle East. And that's not possible as long as Saddam Hussein is in power, unquote. See, a lot of people think that by setting off a civil war, we're destabilizing the Middle East. I think Pete put his finger on it by pointing out that we're not. Good arguing, Pete. It's stabilizing. See, there was a time when they used to say that the foreign policy of the Bush 1 and previous administrations had too great an emphasis on stability, and that's why we were supporting all these autocrats in the Middle East, and that's why the people in the Middle East turned against. And so this is essentially a destabilizing policy of democratizing the Middle East. But Pete now brings explanation number 412. We'll file it. Hello, welcome to the show.
Sitting in my car outside your window. Sitting in my car outside your window. Remember when you spilled Coke all over your blouse? T-shirts cut off and a pair of bows. T-shirts cut off and a pair of bows. We've been having fun all summer long. All summer long you've been with me.
the Edge of America from the Home of the Homeless. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of Le Show. By the way, that was the parenthetical pause there. Not just summertime pacing. By the way, apropos of a question that I passed on from some folks last week, why do you call Santa Monica the home of the homeless when we in San Francisco, our homeless cup runneth over? Well, as if dropped from the lap of the news gods, this comes in this week. San Francisco has been quietly sending an average of more than 70 homeless folks a month back where they came from. Since February, the new streamlined Family Reunification Program, otherwise known as Operation Get Out of Here, has put some 450 general assistance recipients on buses with one-way tickets to whichever relatives or friends will have them. The program is not new, but the current San Francisco Municipal Administration has made getting on the bus a lot easier. In the past, anyone wanting a ticket had to go through an application process that took as long as a week to complete. Quote, now we just make a call to make sure they have someone to go back to, says Trent Rohrer, head of the City Department of Human Services. That's a service. Operation Get Out of Here. That, ladies and gentlemen, is why Santa Monica is the home of the homeless. I don't think you could get a bus ticket out of here. I think, do they have buses here? Yeah, I've heard they do. There's some, maybe it's just too much paperwork. Maybe that's it. Maybe the Santa Monica has. All the paperwork San Francisco got rid of has been imported and added to the load here. Anyway, I reclaim the title proudly and with some justification, thanks to the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering what it is about those Canadians, just exactly what is it about them, here's a possible answer from the Globe and Mail. Like, if you've got mail, why do you need the Globe? No, that's not the point here. Quoting from the story now. A federal court judge in Canada, this is, has ordered Canadian intelligence. That's, I know, savor that for a moment, but then move on with me, if you would be so kind. The federal court judge has ordered Canadian intelligence to stop questioning Guantanamo Bay's youngest prisoner. Does that sound like a Christmas special or what? The littlest detainee. The decision criticizes counterterrorism agents for flouting the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. They got rights and freedoms up there. See what I mean? See what I'm saying? In a ruling released this week, Justice Conrad von Finkelstein, I swear I'm reading this, ladies and gentlemen, would I make up a name that bad? Canadian Justice Conrad von Finkelstein describes 18-year-old Omar Khadr's detention as, quote, one of those rare exceptional cases where granting an injunction is required to prevent a potential grave injustice, given that the, continuing to quote here, conditions at Guantanamo Bay do not meet the standards of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Forget about meeting our standards, ladies and gentlemen. We're not even meeting Canadian standards. You know what their standards for hot dogs are? No, neither do I. Canadian spies have spoken to Khadr on several occasions since U.S. forces arrested him as a 15-year-old soldier fighting for Al-Qaeda-aligned forces in Afghanistan. Years earlier, his fundamentalist parents moved him and his siblings from Toronto to expose their children to the values of the Taliban and live in a compound with Osama bin Laden. Now, if this is a guy that shouldn't be, you know, this really will test everybody's values. Because his parents moved to get him closer to live in a compound with Osama. Maybe he never met bin Laden. You know, those compounds can be very crowded. And there's a lot of people who just want to say, hey, bin Laden, I'm here. What do you need? So he may not have met him, but definitely his parents moved him to be closer to the values of the Taliban, like the let's tear down the 2,000-year-old Buddha type values. So that would be a real test for your Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. But nonetheless, Canadian intelligence, wink, 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 can no longer question him. So maybe they'll give him a one-way bus ticket to San Francisco. And now, ladies and gentlemen, copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
Let's get scared. Let's get scared.
Dateline Russia, a vast expanse of western Siberia, is undergoing an unprecedented thaw that could dramatically increase the rate of global warming. This is according to climate specialists issuing a global warning in the pages of New Scientist magazine. Researchers who've recently returned from the region found that an area of permafrost spanning a million square kilometers, the size of France and Germany, for those of you who don't speak metric, has started to melt for the first time since it formed 11,000 years ago at the end of the last ice age. It's starting to melt for the first time since the end of the ice age. It seems paradoxical, doesn't it? And yet, the area which covers the entire subarctic region of western Siberia is the world's largest frozen peat bog. Yes, you can win bets with that. The world's largest frozen peat bog. Let's go there now. What do you say? It's hot here. Frozen peat bog sounds good. Scientists fear that as it thaws, it will release billions of tons of methane, or methane, as they call it in the United States, a greenhouse gas 20 times more potent than carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. This would be one of those kind of loop deals. Warms enough to melt this thing, and then it releases the methane, and then it melts, gets warmer. It's a scenario climate scientists have feared since first identifying tipping points. Those places where you have to actually leave a gratuity for the weight. No! Delicate thresholds where a slight rise in the Earth's temperature can cause a drastic change in the environment that itself triggers a far greater increase in global temperatures. This discovery of the melting of the world's largest frozen peat bog was made by Sergei Kropotkin at Tomsk State University, not Omsk, Tomsk, in western Siberia. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you were planning a visit to western Siberia expecting frozen peat, adjust your plans accordingly.
Ooh-wee. Oh, it knows it's hot in here today. My goodness, somebody turn the air conditioner down. Summertime. Are jumping and the cotton is high. Oh, your daddy's rich. Say, girl, your mama's good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. What a morning.
you spread your wings and you take to the sky. But till that morning, there's nothing that can harm you. With daddy and mommy standing by. Standing by, you know the standing by. I say the summertime, the living is easy. The fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Oh, my goodness gracious, somebody tell me why it's so hot, y'all, so hot. I really can't take it no more. It's hot in here, somebody turn that air condition down. Woo! Say baby, summertime. Say baby, woo!
It's summertime, summertime, some, summertime, 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 some, summertime, 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 some, summertime,
summertime, summertime, some, summertime, summertime.
Summertime, summertime, some, summertime, 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 some, summertime, 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 some, summertime,
summertime, summertime, some, summertime, summertime.
It's summertime.
Chuck, Chuck.
Yeah.
It hurts when I sit like this.
Don't sit like that.
Okay, fine. From the upstairs lounge of the fabulously re-fabulist Little Theater of Beverly Hills. This is Strictly from Blackwell. I'm Blackwell. We have just seen a Broadway to Beverly Hills production of Rent. All I can say is these, I'm not going to call them boys. These were men. Interesting. Just made the production come alive in a way that theater is supposed to and almost never does. Isn't that so much like the rest of life, really? But we are going to have great conversation, good fun today. I am so very pleased that 90210, the reality series, is just around the corner. It has been too long and it is just in time, a reality series that puts you and you and you right in the middle of everything that is wonderful about Beverly Hills. I just wish my good friend David Schlesinger was somehow involved with the project because he knows where the hot buttons are buried in and for the city of Beverly Hills. But today, we have two presences, I can't even call them guests, to talk about their various works and their various views and point of views about the work of the spirit. They're both psychics. One is with us by telephone. That is Arthur Parslow, who is a well-known psychic in the Southern California community, has been, I don't mean to say has been, but has been one for years. And here in studio, Dr. Violet Cerise, who has been doing interesting work.
Thank you.
We think interesting work in just totally taking the word psychic and doing something magical with it. Dr. Cerise, welcome to Strictly from Blackwell.
Thank you.
Have a good conversation with you first and then get to Arthur Parslow.
Okay.
What kind of name is Violet Cerise?
You know, that's a question I think so many people want to ask me, Mr. Blackwell, and so few of them do.
I know.
It's a name I chose. It's a chosen name.
Okay.
And I chose it to represent what I think of as my two colors. I think it's...
Interesting.
No more nor less than truth in advertising. I think if you're going to go to somebody gift is to communicate with the spirit world, you want to know their colors.
Absolutely. And this is a way of saying, flying your flag out in front where it belongs.
Of course.
And saying, this is me. Mm-hmm. If you want what I can offer from these two what would you call them? Colors?
Colors.
Then that is who I will be for you. Dr. Cerise, you have been doing work just that goes beyond the word psychic.
Well, we throw away that word,
okay.
Mr. Blackwell.
Okay, good.
I am a psychic.
Psychic.
And that has a very specific meaning. It's you can think of it as a very clever play on words, but it's so much more.
Okay, good.
It is basically... As my color name explains who I am, this explains
what
I
you do.
Okay. I let the great fashion icons of the past...
The ones who've passed.
...communicate, channel to you...
Okay.
...about your look.
This is wondrous to me because what we call fashion today, you know, doesn't even deserve the capital F that is so often attached to it. But
well,
you're talking about somehow... psychically, spiritually, being in touch with Balenciaga, with Coco Chanel.
With Cecil Beaton, with Edith Head.
Okay.
It's not just New York fashion. Hollywood fashion as well, the classic era of the films. And these people want to talk to us. They want to reach across the years and to say, oh, no, no.
Of course they do, because they can see as well, if not better than we can, is going on today. Hindquarter crack that I don't even understand why that would be photographed and put in a newspaper.
Well,
maybe our other guest does. Arthur Parslow, the great seer. Well, you are on the phone from where?
I'm on the phone from the rec room at my house.
Okay, fine. Arthur, you have been doing just basic what we would call basic psychic practice now for what, 25, 30, 35 years in and for the city of Beverly Hills, and of course Hollywood too.
And Malibu. I guess you could call it basic psychic practice. It's it's just no bells and whistles, Mr. Blackwell.
Okay.
There's nothing to, you know, not like there's going to be a book or,
anything.
I'm not going to be appearing in a hotel ballrooms.
I wouldn't think.
What I do is just very personal consultations.
Which we love.
If you'll pardon me, the way I believe psychics are supposed to, between persons and those on the other side who have some personal relationship with them.
Okay,
and,
like a father or mother.
You know, I'm sure there are people who did have a personal relationship with Edith Head or her relatives.
No, I had a personal relationship with Edith Head's chief dresser, but that is a whole other story. We don't want to.
We don't want to go there.
Burden the audience with that.
But Mr. Blackwell, I have to say,
okay, good.
I know Arthur Parslow. We've worked together. Yeah. We've worked apart for years.
We never really.
I know he finds it difficult to accept.
Okay.
My new gift.
No, I know, and I find it fascinating to accept it because.
Thank you.
Just tell a story. One of the encounters or the communications you've had, and I think.
Mr. Blackwell, that's not going to.
Okay. Anyway, go, Dr. Yes. Cerise. You have the floor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This was a client of mine. I'll call her Megan.
Okay, good.
Although her real name was Megan.
Interesting.
But
interesting.
Megan, to me,
yeah.
was in need of great guidance,
yeah.
and she agreed.
Good.
And we sat, we held hands.
Okay.
There were some candles, okay. there was some incense,
okay.
some client-appropriate music.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And you can ask Megan.
Okay.
She heard it before I did, the voice of Yves Saint Laurent.
Yves Saint Laurent.
And he was calling to her, Megan, he said, and then I corrected him. I said,
Megan.
And he
yeah.
said, Megan.
Interesting.
And she answered, and he said that it was Yves Saint Laurent, and we yeah. talked a little yeah. bit about...
Okay, just before you say what you talked about, did he have an accent?
Oh, he had the most beautiful French accent.
Okay, good.
And it was...
Because...
if I've ever been tempted to fall in love with a spirit,
oh,
Mr. Blackwell, it's just the way he spoke
could
charm you right out of this life.
Yeah.
But he had some messages, which I don't think Megan was the right recipient for, how the business was being run and I told him that I would communicate those if possible, to the appropriate people.
Incredible.
And then he said he had a message for Megan.
Okay.
And she leaned forward.
Yeah.
Although, of course, his voice was all around us.
Of
there was
course.
No need to
do
that.
No. But, you know.
And she said, I'm ready.
Okay.
And he said one word, Mr. Blackwell.
Really?
And that word was boxy.
Boxy.
And Megan sighed. She put her head down.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she sobbed a little bit, and then she came back up, and I said, "Can you accept that?" And she said, "Yes, yes. I've been waiting for this."
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Cerise, just one other question: was her look boxy?
Mr. Blackwell, I know nothing about fashion. Mm-hmm. I'm the Psy in Psy Chic. I bring my spiritual communication tools to the table.
Okay.
If Yves Saint Laurent said it, I have to believe it. But I mean, look at me.
No, you look fine.
Thank you.
Mr.
Parslow.
Mr. Parslow.
Parslow.
What do you feel about this that you've just heard?
I'm touched, as you are, Mr. Blackwell, by the emotion, the feelings of the experience.
Yeah,
but I just have to say, why would Yves Saint Laurent care about this woman
enough to bridge
the divide? I mean, that is not... As everybody who works in this field knows, that's not easy for spirits. And you come back for a reason related to somebody you care about.
Yeah, yeah.
And the idea that he came back to say boxy to this woman, to me, just starts tearing down all the good work that we do in the profession to make it a profession. Yeah. I mean,
Mr. Blackwell, it is a caring profession. And I'll tell you one thing I'm never going to do, and it's cross-examine a spirit on why he has come.
That is such a caring thing to say, and what we have to care about now is time, because it is the ultimate spirit that calls to us and says, "You're gone. You're through." Thank you both for being with us. Great conversation, great thoughts and feelings that we have felt. Next time, injecting yourself with Botox. Have we died and gone to heaven yet? Until then, strictly from Blackwell. Bye-bye.
She's looking hot in the breeze.
This is Le Show, and to prove that we're really concentrating on only the finest Los Angeles dog trainer corrections for you, just one this week. Hey, the new editor is doing what? Just one. So not even time for the theme. An article in Monday's Section A, that would be the A section, said Iraqi Prime Minister Ibrahim Jafari attended a meeting Sunday to work out details of the country's constitution. In fact, Jafari did not attend. It's a binary kind of situation, ladies and gentlemen. Either he did or he didn't. You know, you have a 50-50 chance of being right. But now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to read the trades for you. Yes, it's a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Who else would copyright it? Ask yourself that question. Okay, you've asked it. Thank you. From Media Week, FCC hires conservative indecency critic. I will read it for you, because that's what I do. The Federal Communications Commission is hired as an advisor, an anti-pornography activist, and former lobbyist for groups that push for Christian precepts in public policy. The move may herald a reinvigorated campaign against broadcast indecency. Hey, they can go shire themselves and bring renewed pressure on cable to reconsider its racy offerings. Penny Nance, until recently a board member of Concerned Women for America, so she's concerned, and she's a woman, is working as a special advisor in the FCC's Office of Strategic Planning and Policy Analysis. And what an office that is. It helps develop agency policy. Concerned Women for America describes its mission as helping to bring biblical principles into all levels of public policy. Unquote. In recent weeks, Nance, a longtime supporter, stepped down from the organization's board. Nance founded the Kids First Coalition, that describes itself as working to protect children. It invites members to contact Congress on such issues as abortion and pornography and publishes Republican speeches and position papers on its website. In a January letter to President Bush, you remember him, Nance joined others in calling for stricter enforcement of indecency laws and identifying a, quote, huge indecency problem on basic cable. Some observers believe the FCC is preparing to act, perhaps in coming weeks, on as many as 50 indecency complaints. And some see Nance's arrival as an indication the agency is leading toward stricter enforcement. Who would those some be? Some don't know. Nance declined in an interview, telling Media Week, quote, "I can't talk now," quote. The Office of FCC Commissioner Kevin Martin. Is his first name Kevin? Yes, it is. Thank you. His office says she advises the commission on broadcast and cable-related consumer and social issues. She's also working part-time, but Martin's office did not say when she began working at the FCC. She has terminated her work as a lobbyist for Kids First and for the Fort Lauderdale, Florida-based Center for Reclaiming America, a group that says it works to, quote, implement the biblical principles on which our country was founded, unquote. Nance has previously taken a direct interest in issues of broadcast indecency. Breakdown of standards on TV and radio is a moral values problem we cannot ignore, she said in her letter to President Bush. It called for repeated and expanded fines until broadcasters understand they are not above the law. You know what I say? I say love her. And from Advertising Age, after a series of starts and stops, the U.S. Army, which is having recruitment problems in light of the war in Iraq, has reissued its request for proposals for its up to $1 billion advertising contract, the government's largest ever. After abruptly canceling a long-running review, leaving six ad agencies that were chasing the account in the lurch, the Army is now giving agencies a new incentive to pitch. It intends to make the contract for the first time for 2 years. Virtually all government ad contracts up to now have been for 1 year, with annual renewals for up to five. A month after awarding the current agency, Leo Burnett, a six-month extension, which we talked about earlier, the request for proposals anticipates spending to go up to the $200 million annual level for the new contract. The contract has had a troubled history. The bidding process for a new Army ad contract began in spring 2004, but after agencies sent in their bids, the Army repeatedly delayed awarding the contract and continued to extend Leo Burnett's. The delays come as the Army continues to have trouble recruiting. It's running at 86% of its fiscal year goal. How much Leo Burnett's Army of One ad campaign has to do with the failed recruitment target is hard to measure amid daily news reports of military and civilian deaths in Iraq. One part of the current Army campaign tells parents that sending their children to the Army is the right and patriotic thing to do. Ask Cindy Sheehan. Excuse me? What happened there? I'm supposed to be reading the trades for you, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it's a copyrighted feature of this broadcast, because I read it for you. Speaking of which, a longtime listener of this broadcast emailed me this week to upbraid me, saying, I was a big fan of when you used to do those montages of Tom Brokaw saying an exaggerated number of tonights in his NBC Nightly News broadcast. I counted 21 times last week, he said, when you, meaning me, said the phrase, ladies and gentlemen. And This is what did Gene Kirkpatrick used to call this? Moral relativism. My premise, and it's never been disproved, is that Tom Brokaw said tonight to distract you from the fact that NBC Nightly News had more canned pieces, non-news, stuff that had happened weeks or months ago, or just, you know, long-planned pieces that were really like features as opposed to news, and saying tonight all the time distracted you from that. I say ladies and gentlemen because it's a hook. It's just like saying well or hey gang or my friends or whatever that, you know, people on the radio say just to attract your attention, because your attention is wandering off. We know that. So moral relativism. Phooey. And now, ladies and gentlemen, some news from outside the bubble. It's basically news about our good friend Pakistan. Deadline Amsterdam, the CIA asked the Netherlands not to detain Pakistani scientist Dr. Abdul Qadir Khan, AQ Khan, for stealing nuclear secrets from a Dutch facility. This according to former Dutch Prime Minister Ruud Lubbers. I'm sorry. It's the Dutch. Ruud Lubbers, ladies and gentlemen. Ruud Lubbers. Speaking on Dutch radio, Lubbers said the Dutch authorities held off from taking action against Khan in 1975 and 1986. Hey, that's two different decades. Because the U.S. Security Agency wanted to gain more information about the scientists' activities. Khan headed a clandestine network that sold nuclear know-how to Libya, North Korea, and Iran. Hey, just fine, upstanding countries like those. He was the father of the Pakistani nuclear weapon, too. In early 1976, Khan left the Netherlands with secret blueprints for a uranium centrifuge. He was convicted in absentia by a court in the Netherlands for stealing the designs The conviction was later overturned on a technicality. So he's like the Ollie North of Pakistan. As Prime Minister in the mid-80s, Lubbers raised the issue as the CIA had been monitoring Khan for 10 years without any obvious breakthrough in the investigation. Again, Lubbers said the Americans did not want action taken against Khan. And, Dateline Prague, the Pakistani military is in a triumphant mood, describing the Babur cruise missile, which has a range of 300 miles, as a milestone in the country's history. Pakistan has joined the small number of countries able to design and build cruise missiles. Information Minister Rashid Ahmed added that Babur is a birthday gift to President Pervez Musharraf, who turned 62 this week. He brushed aside fears that the test could damage relations with neighboring India. That's the, you know, that's better than a tie. The test is certain, according to Radio Free Europe in Prague, to set off alarm bells ringing in India. The two countries have twice come dangerously close to nuclear war, thanks to the fact that Pakistan has a nuclear weapon. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks to AQ Khan, thanks to the fact that the CIA told rude Lubbers, let him go. Leave him be, babe. The shuttle is back to Earth. The mission was basically successful, if you're not counting foam. And it's important as a signpost to keep the space station project alive. And, of course, also, in a longer range sense, to keep NASA on track for President Bush's stated goal of manned flight to Mars. Now, he stated the goal. NASA has reprioritized itself to try to accommodate that goal. It's hard to know whether the budget really is there for that yet. That would, of course, be heavily influenced by public support. So we have the goal. We don't know if we have the budget. What we really need, ladies and gentlemen, it seems to me, to get this thing going, is the song.
Well, come on, let's go for a trip. That'll be a real gas. Yeah, we'll be weightless for years, and we'll also give the country some class. It'll be a great ride, and you can't beat the pride. We'll be American guys on Mars. The planet. We'll be
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a truncated version of the Apologies of the Week.
We're so sorry.
I didn't truncate them. It's just, I guess, in the summertime, even the apologize or even the apologies are easy. The Denver Daily News. This is quoted in the Denver Weekly, but it's from the Denver Daily News. Quote, the Denver Daily News would like to offer a sincere apology for a typo in Wednesday's town talk regarding New Jersey's proposal to ban smoking in automobiles. It was not the author's intention to call New Jersey, Jew Jersey. Dateline Pittsburgh, when retired Pittsburgh Steelers radio announcer Myron Cope was given the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award at the Pro Football Hall of Fame last weekend, he was given 2 minutes to speak. Cope rambled for 13 minutes and was eventually escorted back to his seat before he could finish. He apologized this past week for causing a scene, saying it was conceit. Quote, people may think I'm senile, but I ain't. I thought I was a celebrity, the 76-year-old Cope said. But there's more sportscaster news. Dateline Miami Diamondbacks television analyst Mark Grace probably will not face disciplinary action from the team after the former first baseman uttered multiple expletives during early portions of a broadcast this week of Arizona's game with the Florida Marlins. Unaware his microphone was on at the time. Team president Rich Dozer said it was simply a regrettable incident and blamed an apparent faulty talkback button connecting the visiting TV booth to the television truck. Nevertheless, Dozer said there was no excuse for the type of language fans heard during the Fox Sportsnet Arizona telecast. Hey, don't blame Mark. Blame Rupert. Quote, we feel terrible about it, and I know Mark is mortified about it, but it's a tough lesson for us all, Dozer said, suggesting broadcasters should always assume their mic is live. What the f*** is he talking about? Quote, our mission is to provide a quality family atmosphere. Yep, that's Fox Sports, all right. Ask Tom Arnold. Grace's broadcasting partner, play-by-play man Tom Brenneman, offered an on-air apology shortly after the crew became aware of the gaffe. Grace apologized during a post-game interview in the Diamondbacks clubhouse, saying, I learned a lesson. I promise you it will never happen again. I was having a private conversation with engineers in the truck like we do every day, and evidently some words that aren't airable came out, and through a technical difficulty, I may have offended some people. Grace said, if that's the case, I apologize and I will face any consequences. Sounds like engineer's revenge, ladies and gentlemen, to me. Make friends with those guys. They control the buttons. Dateline Akron, Ohio. Akron Mayor Don Pluskelic has docked himself a day's pay for cursing during an argument with a parking attendant. The $500 self-punishment, I hear people are into that now, was revealed this week when the mayor also apologized for using the F-word during an incident with the attendant. Last month, when the mayor and the attendant disagreed over where the mayor should park at a downtown lot, when he arrived for a meeting with a museum director. Hey, if you're coming to a meeting with a museum director, I think you should park wherever you want. The Apologies of the Week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. That is going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at this same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network up and down the east coast of North America via WBCQ, the planet, available at channel 108 on Sirius Satellite Radio, available as a free download at www.audible.com/LeShow. Available around the world via your computer at two different locations, harryshear.com and kcrw.com, live and archived, and available as a podcast at kcrw.com. Don't be left out. And it would be just like not being left out if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you? Really? Would you? All right. Thank you very much. Email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. A tip of Le Show chapeau to the Pittsburgh and San Diego desks. Le Show playlists available at harryshearer.com. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.